Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's www.webtalkradio.net. Glad to have you back. Wow. So many things going on in this administration, around this world. And we've talked to you in the past few weeks about the Middle East, about different things in Ukraine. And I have to tell you, today's show, we're going to concentrate on politics and what's going on right here in the good old USA. Next week, I've got an international treat for you, someone who lives usually about 6 months out of the year. And you won't believe some of the things people are saying about Vladimir Putin and Barack Obama over on the other side of the world. And we have a very interesting guest next week, and we'll talk about some world affairs, what's going on, and what people are saying about the United States of America. You don't want to miss that next week. And this week, we are getting into some of the races. They had a Republican primary in North Carolina. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Tea Party versus the establishment. Laura Ingraham of the radio host and sometimes on Fox News comes on, and she asks the question, is the Tea Party outlived its welcome, Matt? So we'll have a quote from her, and we've got a serious discussion about that, some things that Doc Holliday knows on the inside, some things going on that I will share with you. And that's on the second half of the show. Before we get to that, we need to talk about what's going on with Benghazi committee. Speaker of the House Boehner has put together a select committee for investigating what went on at Benghazi. We still don't have the answers. And some people say, just like the administration said, hey, dude, that was 2 years ago. Why do they want it to go on by? Well, we're going to hopefully find out and get some, nobody knows what the president of the United States did that night. Nobody in the public knows. No, we don't know. And I think with four dead Americans have a right to know where their commander-in-chief was. So maybe this select committee can find out. We're going to talk some about that. Obamacare. I don't like using that term. Everybody's using it. But the Unaffordable, Uncaring Act, they said they have over 8 million signed up. Well, we got to talk about that number. And there's something that the press, just the cheerleaders for the administration, the mainstream media, didn't tell you everything about those 8 million signups. So you're going to hear it on Doc Holliday's Rock Split Politics today. We're going to dig down deeper so you'll really know what some of those numbers mean. Guess what? There's some new things going on. The jobs report got some statistics. You dig down in there a little more. Difficult to imagine why the White House is cheering. And there's, again, some of the cheering going on there about our economy is something that's suspect, to say the least. And so we're going to get into that. And with what we see at the White House, I think somebody needs to call the firehouse. How about that?
Fire house.
Well, that was the rock group Kiss back in the 1970s singing Get the Firehouse. And when you look at what's going on at the White House, is it burning down? No, physically it's not burning down. But there's so many things that are happening in this White House that makes you think this thing's going to catch on fire. And the administration is putting out numbers that they've done it time after time after time that the mainstream media will not dig down into. But we're about to right here, right now. And the first thing we're going to do is talk about the employment. The jobs report came out the first Friday in May last week, or a couple of weeks ago. And you just have to understand, there was celebration in the White House. There was high-fiving around about the economy. And because the jobs reported 288,000 new jobs. Good. Okay. Is it great? Well, we need 350,000 just to keep up, to try to build back up the workforce. Guess what? The unemployment rate drops from 6.7 to 6.3%. Unemployment rate down to 6.3%. The celebrations were going all around. Hadn't been this low in several years. And high-fiving the Democrats, crowing about this. But when you dig down to the numbers, guess what? The unemployment rate did drop, but the job participation rate continues to fall. That is not good. That means we still have fewer workers and we have more people in this country. You talk about jobs numbers. Go back in 1982 and 3 when Ronald Reagan has put in his tax decreases. He put in the tax cuts. And guess what? The economy was growing at 400,000 and 500,000 new jobs a month. In 1 month alone, in September of 1 year, 1 million jobs made in 1 month. And this was back when the workforce was smaller than it is today. Where is the job recovery? Why don't the knuckleheads in the administration say yes to the Keystone Pipeline? These are things that supporters of the President of the United States need to look the camera in the eye and say, we don't know why this man will not help provide jobs at the Keystone Pipeline. And yes, last week, this administration came out and said they're going to use executive power to initiate the carbon dioxide standards. And they said they don't need Congress. And they're going to push the agenda, say, in this global warming episode. And now they use a different term. It's climate change. And in the past, that means weather. But this climate change and climate disorder, all these things, they use these terms. Now, somebody has to go back to the models they told us in the 1990s. These same climate scientists. See, they can't call them scientists. They have to be climate scientists. Because scientists, many of them, don't believe in the propaganda that's being pushed out. But the climate scientist of the 90s said we would have temperatures way off the charts by now. It's not happening, people. We had the Great Lakes frozen over just 2 or 3 months ago. Yes. Yes. We got more Arctic ice than we've known before. And the polar bears, they're not dying because of lack of ice. And yet the propaganda goes on and on and on. Look, they've proven statistics the world has not warmed up the last 10 years. So how can these people look us in the eye and say we have to do these drastic changes? It's not about the climate. It's about control. And I'll tell you, this is Doc Holliday's take on it, okay? You won't hear this anywhere else. You hear it here. I believe every person born has a void in their heart, in their life, and they seek God. They seek a higher power. And there's people who deny God. They are atheists, but they still have this need for a higher power. So therefore, they worship Mother Earth, and they say, if they can't be good people, if they can't look for a higher power, then they have to do something good, and their religion becomes the climate. Therefore, we have climate scientists, climate savers. They're doing something to save the earth, so they feel good, and that becomes their worship. That becomes the idol they give their attention to, and they say, I'm being good. I'm trying to save future generations. Well, you know, if they leave us alone, they can do that. But no, they want everybody to follow in and be and understand their part of the religion, and they want our pocketbooks. Now, if you want your religion, this is America. We have freedom. There's all kind of religions and beliefs and faiths, and you put your money and your faith. That's what America was made for. But the climate changers, these people who claim global warming and set up models that have failed, they want your money. They want your money to keep their religion going. They want my money and your money and tax money, and they're getting it, but they want more and more and control over our lives. So that's my take. It's a religion. It's a false religion is what some of these people have become, that are worshiping the numbers, that are failed in talking about this global warming phenomena. Does weather change? Yes. Did we come out of a little ice age back in the lasted up about 400 years, they say, up in the 1900s? Yes. Yes, the world has gotten a little warmer, but it used to be a lot warmer. It goes back and forth. Goodness gracious alive. We got people who would skin me for saying that. But we do have freedom of speech. And I'm telling you, there's people who deny God, but they got to have a God so that it becomes the climate. Why do you think Al Gore went to seminary? He didn't go to seminary. But he had to find something he could believe in, I guess. We got to move on. The show continues on. The numbers, we're talking about the economy. I do have to say, growth of 0.1%. Is that good? The first quarter, 0.1%. Would that be revised down? We're going, are we going to get we're going to actually get a drop in growth? Does that not signal, if you get two in a row, is that what they call a recession? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. I bet the government keeps it above. They get that 0.1%, so they can't say we're not having any growth. But I didn't see a lot of jumping up and down about that or even worry about that. But the numbers are also reflective in Obamacare. What I mentioned earlier, the Unaffordable Uncaring Act, what I like to call it, because that's what it is. It's not caring when you lie about a program. It was brought to this nation by fraud, by deceit. And I've went over that in past shows. You can go back and listen to it. But this whole entire law is fraudulent. And it's brought to us by a whole entire party, the Democratic Party, that used fraud to get it passed. And yes, I mean fraud. When you use an unfair advantage or illegal, I'm not saying it's illegal, I'm saying it's unfair advantage when you lie about statistics and to get a law passed. And we know time after time, go back in the past shows to listen to those. But now, they said, they had that big celebration. 8 million people have signed up. 8 million. And the press said it over and over, and the White House did the high fives and celebrated and said, now the debate is over. It's here to stay. The new health care law. But guess what? We're finding out 8 million people signed on, but many of those are duplicates. Why? Because their website was not working, and people would sign up and couldn't get through, so they tell them to sign up again. And they may sign up again and again or start over. Every time they start, they counted them as a new signee. Did the administration do some of that on purpose? Well, I know they counted them all on purpose. Every attempt is counted as a sign-up. So how many of duplicates do we have? Nobody knows, they say. They say, what is this? Who's running this? The Keystone Cops? And they want Kathleen Sebelius to run for the Senate. Please, please do. Let the people of Kansas show their affection for the lies that you've expounded on this nation. This was under your watch, Kathleen Sebelius. These numbers, 8 million. Did you tell us you were counting the duplicates? Did you know many of those were duplicates to get the 8 million number? Why didn't you tell the American people? My goodness, the White House is burning down when you say liar, liar, pants on fire. Everybody in the White House seems to have their pants on fire because they're using numbers that are fraudulent and pushing it to a mainstream media that is using the numbers like cheerleaders cheering on the Democratic Party. Well, that's the first half of the show. We're going to stop right here. Let me remind you that you are listening. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And right here, you'll hear things you won't hear anywhere else. Now, in the second half of the show, we're about to get into the Tea Party versus the establishment in the Republican primaries. We've had some last week, and we got some coming up here in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to talk about that. Has the Tea Party worn out its welcome in the Republican Party? Is the Republican Party ready to get rid of the Tea Party? And where would the Tea Party go? So very important things you need to know. But first, let me remind you, as you're listening to us, that you can go to the website. Just go to the front page. Go on there. Click on. And you can order the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo. And you can also order a couple more books I've written, and some I got some essays and some books for conservative authors. So you can go right there on the website, order those. And let me just remind you, we do have a new sponsor. You can check on our banner ads there, and we're glad to welcome them. And you may want to advertise too, right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And you can contact webtalkradio.net, and you can be a sponsor too for this show. Because people hear things here you won't hear anywhere else. And we're glad you're listening. And now, there's something I'm going to play from the Laura Ingraham Show. Listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it.
Now, maybe a little bit of a comeback there for Karl Rove and American Crossroads, the establishment. I mean, I don't know how many of you thought the establishment was going to go down without a major fight. People are waking up today going, Laura, my gosh, the establishment won some big races. Oh, hello? No kidding, the establishment's going to win big races, especially in contests where we have two or even three, quote, conservative alternatives to the incumbent or to the establishment favorite. And I'm really beginning to think that the entire moniker of the Tea Party, the brand, has just outlived its usefulness.
So, Miss Laura says, she asked the question, has the Tea Party brand or moniker outlived its usefulness? Tea Party, is it over with? Is it diminished? Will it be welcomed slowly back into the Republican Party? Will it become a vibrant libertarian alternative to the Republican Party? What happens to the Tea Party? Where is the Tea Party right now? Well, let Doc Holliday explain that to you. See, for those who don't know much about the Tea Party, and that may go for one of the races coming up in a couple of weeks, we have Chris McDaniel, state senator in the state of Mississippi, versus the incumbent, six-time incumbent, U.S. Senator Thad Cochran, right here in Mississippi, where we do the show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I talked about that a couple weeks ago, about this race. And to follow up a little bit about it, is coming up. And will the Tea Party be able to muster up enough support to oust an incumbent like Thad Cochran? Well, like Laura, the reason she brought that up is the Tea Party just outlived its usefulness is the fact that in North Carolina last week, we had Tom Tillis was the establishment Republican pick. He had there, a longtime legislator right there in North Carolina. He was the pick of the party and the pick of the run in the United States Senate primary to take on a Democrat Senator Kay Hagan come November. But there was Mr. Greg Brannon, and he was a physician, and Senator Dr. Rand Paul came in to help Dr. Brannon out because with his help of being a physician and against Obamacare, there's many people who thought this man was the one to pick. He was much more conservative than the establishment Tom Tillis. But Tom Tillis won, and didn't he have to go to a runoff with two or three others running also in the race? And Laura Ingraham pointed out, how does a Tea Party expect to win when they got two or three people and they can't even, when trying to be an establishment? The same thing's happening in South Carolina against Lindsey Graham. You got division. Well, now, in the Mississippi race, everybody's cleared everyone out except for Thad Cochran and his challenger, Tea Party-backed Chris McDaniels. But time after time, we see disunity in the Tea Party. There's not the strength of the Tea Party was always the fact that there was no leader they could pinpoint and demonize. And so as the Tea Party grew, it threatened a lot of people, and it did change some members of Congress. And there's no doubt about the Tea Party that started back in 2009. Without the Tea Party, there would not be a Speaker of the House in Republican control named John Boehner. Now, he's not been a friend of the Tea Party, but he owes his speakership to the Tea Party. Very interesting how the people in the Republican Party, the establishment, they like to point out that the Tea Party has cost several Senate seats, but they forget they gave the biggest seat to help stop Barack Obama's program to Speaker John Boehner. Why did I bring that up? Because you cannot deny the strength and the usefulness of the Tea Party. And I got to go back and give you some background. Back in 2009, when the Tea Party started, it grew, and it grew so fast. It grew into all 50 states. People were frustrated. Many people had seen their entire life retirement savings drop 50% and more when the stock market crashed. People were scared. They were worried. Our government was borrowing more and more money than we'd ever had, $1 trillion stimulus package. And people could understand this was not the direction they wanted to see their country growing the national debt by trillions. And so the Tea Party actually grew. Now, the Democrats were saying it's grown because we have a first African-American president. Many people in the Tea Party, it just hurt their soul to hear that. You could not, but that was part of the reason why the Democrats loved having the first African-American president, because they could, any opponents, they could call it racism. And they did in many cases. And the Tea Party was marked and called racist in many ways. But the Tea Party was growing so rapidly. And you got to remember, where did the one percenters and what they called the rally against Wall Street. And that was a movement going on the same time as the Tea Party, after the Tea Party got started. Because looking back, what it was many people on the left who had a lot of money, including the unions. They helped put the people together to go and start having sit-ins and live-ins. And they got people from all over. And that's where they started raging a war against the 1% in many places. And it was the left's answer to the Tea Party. But what it did, it got the Tea Party out of the headlines. Very good strategy by the far left. And instead of the Tea Party getting the headlines and all the news media coverage, which was just scaring the far left media, the mainstream media, had to cover the story because it was such a phenomenon, the Tea Party being a political movement. And yet, Occupy Wall Street was created. I believe it was created by the far left spending money, hiring people to sit in, occupy Wall Street, became occupy this, occupy that, and raging against the one percenters. And they really didn't have a whole big agenda. But the agenda was to get the Tea Party out of the news. But we didn't know it at the time. But there was a hit going on to the Tea Party. It was started with the media. I know in the African-American media, if you read Jet Magazine or Ebony or Essence or any of the magazines written for the African-American population, in these magazines were articles about the Tea Party being racist, and they showed signs. And I have no proof, but I wonder if certain photographers made certain signs and carried them just to get a picture and to plant them and say, this is the Tea Party. I saw signs that were racist signs that would be on a picture of one of the road signs that where you can change letters around in the South. And they'd say, look at this sign about the Tea Party being so racist. Was that sign really there? We never had proof. Just as the so much in the media that was put out there. Or they might find some crazy character and they have something to do with racism. I'm not saying the Tea Party is 100% clean because millions of people were getting into it. But I know as a Tea Party leader at that time, if there was any hint of racism, we got it out quick. And it should have been out. And there were many conservative African-Americans that got involved and are still involved at the Tea Party. Senator Tim Scott can give his political beginnings with a helping hand from the Tea Party, the African-American Republican in the United States Senate. But the establishment was out to kill the Tea Party. It didn't start in the GOP, but the media had to kill it. But not only the media, the left that got Occupy Wall Street, but little do we know within the confines of the Internal Revenue Service, there were people working to squeeze the Tea Party, to make them not grow, to keep organizations from filing to get status so they could collect money. It was happening within the government, and there is proof of pressure being put on. We've talked about it in our program where government agencies that would come in and look at a business of someone who was running a Tea Party, it had to be government harassment. When two or three or four different government organizations came in and would harass a Tea Party leader. And we know that some congressmen wrote letters to the IRS and said, you got to do something about the Tea Party. And that, my friends, went on unchecked and unabated. And the sad thing is, it worked in a large degree. It worked in giving the Tea Party a bad name. And the Tea Party had a hard time ever getting the numbers they had at first. And part of that is because they were disorganized. And the parts that tried to get organized, well, after the IRS slammed them over the head and wouldn't let them organize, it became frustrating. Many leaders just dropped out. And we've talked to some of the leaders, and we've talked about some I know, Mississippi Tea Party, where they tried and tried to get the tax status from the IRS, and finally after several, over a year, had to just basically give up. And they were being, it wasn't just trying to get this tax status, the IRS would send back these long forms asking for all kind of bodacious questions that nobody else, no other organization had to answer. But that's the part of the Tea Party that was shot down by our government, by the mainstream media, and the movement wasn't squelched, but it was clipped. Its wings were clipped. And then here comes, after Senator Lugar, Indiana, got beat by a Tea Party-backed candidate, longtime incumbent, Senator Lugar, a couple years back. Well, the establishment just about said they'd had enough of the Tea Party, the establishment Republicans. And they cried that all their defeats came from poor candidates pushed by the Tea Party. Of course, they also had Tommy Thompson got beat in Wisconsin. He was the governor there, was also worked in the Bush administration, and he thought, well, we'll pick the establishment Republican, we'll get Wisconsin. It didn't work. And the same thing happened to establishment candidates in some other states. So it wasn't just the Tea Party. But where are we now? In 2014, this is what I want you to take home with today's show. I remember my history, and I remember in the fight for freedom, George Washington, he wanted to lick the British, and there in New York, if it wasn't for a miracle of the fog, and if y'all know the story, I can't tell you the story, we don't have time to go into it, but George Washington risked his entire army, and the revolution almost ground to a halt and would have been wiped out in that summer of, I believe it's 1776. And it was very dangerously close to being snuffed out because General Washington wanted to stand and fight. He didn't have the numbers. And he sneaked back across the Hudson River, and by the fog that lasted during the morning, just enough to get all the troops across. And it's a miracle by the hand of God, a divine miracle, they call it. One of those that happened several times during the Revolutionary War. But General Washington learned something. He never went without the numbers on his side. And he played hit-and-run tactics for several years until it came. He had the numbers, and he squeezed Cornwallis right there in Virginia, Yorktown, and the Revolutionary War was won. We had our independence, but Washington had to wait till he had the numbers. And that's the take-home message for the Tea Party versus the establishment. Barack Obama told the Tea Party the best advice, and I still say it, if you want to do things, win elections. And the Tea Party's been trying, but they need to do like General Washington. Realize you need the numbers. That doesn't mean you get out of politics. We need the Tea Party in the politics like never before. But we need you working and bringing in coalition of people, making the party of the conservatives bigger. Don't give up on the Republican Party. Don't go out and form a new party because it won't work. It'll do nothing but let the liberals get a bigger grip on power. It's time to build coalitions. You may not get what you want, but sometimes you just might find you get what you need. Thank you, Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. But that's what you need as a conservative, to build coalitions. If you're part of the establishment, or if you're part of the Tea Party, or if you're somebody just so dispirited about the whole thing called politics, it's a rough and tumble sport. It's not easy, but it must be done to save America. Build coalitions. That's my message to everybody that loves this country. And you can see we're on a wrong direction, a very wrong direction. We can't even pass the Keystone Pipeline. We have got to work together. So don't get despaired. If your candidate loses, we have to hop in, win elections. Let's get some R's in the Senate, R's in the House, and then work on getting an R in the White House. It may not be the very one you want, but we've got to work together. Build coalitions. That's my message right here. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, I told you at the beginning of the show, we got some international news. I got a guest that's going to talk to us about what's going on around the other side of the world. We're not talking about what's going on in embassies. We're talking about what's going on the streets. He's got some street-wise knowledge that you'll be surprised to hear. And you'll hear it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. See you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.